If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Starting a new sermon series today. It's entitled, Letting Go, Moving Beyond Your Past. There it is. Okay.
Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door.
Not only a soundtrack to a hit movie, but now a theme song to a great new sermon series. Letting go, moving beyond your past. Just like our physical lives, our dwelling places, and our personal space can be cluttered and full of things that we really don't need, right? Somebody said only in America do we park expensive vehicles out in the open in the driveway and fill our garages with junk. I don't know why we do that. But our lives can get cluttered physically, and the main point behind this new series is that our lives can be cluttered spiritually. And there are things, and often the things that clutter our lives, always really, the things that clutter our lives are things from our past. Things that we hold on to when we would do better to let go. And so I'm going to be talking for the next several weeks about things that if we are holding on to them in our personal lives, we need to let go so that we can move beyond our past and move forward. Our message for today comes, as I said, from 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Paul writes from prison, says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry." Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this first message in this series, the title of today's message, is Letting Go of Your Failures. Letting go of your failures. We're going to look at the story of a young man named John Mark. John Mark was a little rich boy who couldn't do anything right, it seems. Son of wealthy parents, and he failed spectacularly. We all fail, don't we? And when we fail, often our failures affect the course of our lives for a long time to come. Mainly because we simply can't let go of them. If we have a pattern of failure in our lives, we may come to believe that that continued failure is our destiny. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't have to be that way. And as we look at the story of young John Mark, this morning, if you're holding on to failures, if failures from your past, maybe even your recent past, are still cluttering your life and impeding your ability to move forward, today can be the day, amen, when we let go of our failures, when we begin to move on from our past into the future that God, our Heavenly Father, has for us. That's my desire for all of us today. So we're going to look at the story of John Mark and learn how to let go of our failures. In this morning's message, for the next few minutes, I want to answer the question, what must we understand to let go of our failures? What must we understand to let go of our failures? The first thing is this, something that we probably already know, but we need to understand this. Number one, as human beings, we are prone to failure. As human beings, we are prone to failure. How many would agree with me on that? About a third, okay. We're prone to failure. John Mark had two big failures in his life. One is recorded in Mark 14, verses 50 through 52. When Jesus had been arrested, the scripture says, then everyone deserted him, meaning Jesus, and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment, that was the garment that was under the outer garment they would wear, wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Now, when Jesus was arrested, all of his disciples abandoned him, but Mark abandoned him spectacularly. He even left his linen garment behind and fled naked, rather than be identified with Jesus, his Lord. What a spectacular failure. And then later on in the book of Acts, we find that he committed another failure. He deserted Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas were colleagues in ministry. And on their first of many missionary journeys, it says in Acts 13:13, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. And we don't know the reasons why he left them. Possible reasons could have been he was homesick. He resented his cousin Barnabas being relegated to second place on the missionary team to Paul. Or perhaps there was an illness necessitating a change in itinerary. We don't know the reason. But whatever the reason, John Mark was considered an important part of the ministry team, and yet at one stage of the journey, he left and went back home to mama. He deserted his post once again. He failed more than once. He failed, as we've said, we all fail. Can I tell you something? We're not alone. There were many great men in the Bible who failed miserably. Moses failed God, committed murder. David committed adultery and then murder. And then he directly disobeyed a command of God. Peter himself failed time after time. We like to say Peter had foot-in-mouth disease. You ever know anybody with foot-in-mouth disease? Don't look around the room. And then he committed the ultimate failure. He too fled Jesus. Not only did he flee when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied three times that he even knew Jesus. Great men in the scriptures failed miserably. Heard the story about one spectacular failure. There was a would-be bank robber. He felt like a failure. Everything he attempted seemed to turn out wrong. He began to fantasize about being rich. And he decided he would do the one thing he could do to make the most money in the briefest period of time. He would take up the occupation of bank robbing. The would-be bank robber began to plan a strategy, sat up late at night working on detailed plans of the bank he was going to rob. He was drawing sketches and going over his procedures for robbing the bank. But he never seemed to get around to actually robbing the bank. He would plan each night, but when morning came, he would be paralyzed by fear, and he wouldn't do anything. Finally, one night, he determined that tomorrow was the day. Regardless of his feelings, he would get up in the morning and go rob the bank as he had planned. So he drives, even though, again, in fear, he drives to the bank in the morning, Sat in the parking lot for 3 hours, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., trying to get up the nerve. Finally, he got out of the car and went into the bank, and at the teller's window, he got a little confused. He handed the teller his pistol. He stuck his brown paper bag in her face and said, "Don't stick with me. This is a mess up." Needless to say, his meals were provided for him at the cost of the state for some years to come. Failed miserably. Now, hopefully we don't have any bank robbers here today. If so, forgiveness is available. Tithe on your proceeds, though. No, I'm kidding. But you may not have robbed a bank, but we've all failed. Theodore Roosevelt said, "The only man who never makes a mistake is the man who never does anything." You go to do anything in life, you fail. We don't try to fail, but we do. You should never, this is very important, you should never try to deny or ignore your failures. When you fail, you need to own up to it. You need to acknowledge it. Never try to deny or ignore your failures. But on the other hand, don't ever let your failures define you. Don't ever let them define you. Failure is an absolutely necessary part of success. Consider this. A successful Major League Baseball player, when he comes to bat, a successful one has a 300 batting average. Do you know what that means? That means a batter who is considered routinely successful in the major leagues and gets paid millions of dollars to do what he does fails 70% of the time. 300 hitter, you're successful. Failure is an absolutely vital part of success. Everyone fails. Say, "Pastor Tim, why do you share that? To depress us today?" No, I don't want to depress you. But I want to emphasize that failure is part of life. We don't try to fail, as I said, but it's part of life. Don't beat yourself up over your failures. Don't hang on to your failures. The longer you hang on to your failures, the longer you delay your successes. Acknowledge your failures. Learn from them. Make the changes necessary and then move on. Amen? As human beings, we are prone to failure, and we need to understand that if we're to let go of our failures. What's the second thing we need to understand this morning? This is very important. Listen, there is someone who will have faith in you despite your failure. There's someone who will have faith in you despite your failure. In Acts 15, verses 36 to 39, the scripture says, "Sometime later," this is on a subsequent missionary journey, "Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus." This is a pretty interesting portion of Scripture. Paul and Barnabas, colleagues in ministry, called together of God to do ministry together, were about to go on their second missionary journey. Barnabas says to Paul, "Let's take John Mark." And Paul says, "Excuse me? Do you have amnesia, Barnabas? Have you forgotten? Remember our last trip? Mark deserted us. He ran home to mommy. He couldn't take it. He couldn't cut it. There's no way we're taking him on our trip." Barnabas said, "I think we need to give him another chance. I think we need to take them with us. And the scripture says, these colleagues in ministry called of God together had such a sharp dispute over the question of whether or not to take John Mark that they parted company. One missionary team suddenly became two and went in two different directions. How many know Christians can disagree sometimes? And Barnabas, whose name, by the way, means encourager. Isn't that an awesome name? It'd be great if you name your kids Encourager, you know? Hey, here comes Encourager. His name meant encourager. And he decided to take John Mark, who many scholars feel was a relative, his possibly a distant cousin. So much did he believe in John Mark that he was willing to part company with his colleague in ministry, Paul. Because he had faith in John Mark despite Mark's failure. That says something to us today. There are people, there are Barnabases, if that's the way to say it in plural, all around today. God has them all over the place. And you may be here today and you may have failed. You may have failed miserably. You may hold on to those failures and you may think, man, I have failed and everybody knows it. And nobody's ever going to believe in me again because I've failed so miserably. I am here to tell you this morning that God has a Barnabas for you. God has someone who, despite your failures, no matter how spectacular they've been, will believe in you and will have faith in you and will give you another chance. Thomas Edison was working on a crazy contraption called a light bulb. And it took a whole team of men 24 straight hours to put just one bulb together. Can you imagine that? The story goes that when Edison was finished with the creation of this prototype, this one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy who was his helper in his laboratory, and the young boy nervously carried it up the stairs. And you know, he's kind of shaking and going up the stairs. He knew this was so important, and he didn't want to drop it. So he was focused on not dropping it. Well, can you guess what happened? He dropped it. And it shattered into many pieces. The prototype, the invention that took a team of men 24 hours straight to put it together. So what happened? Edison and his team went back to work for another straight 24 hours. They created another light bulb, and it had to be transported up the stairs. And I'll tell you what I would have done. Little self-disclosure here, okay? My name's not Barnabas, okay? But I'm working on it. All right. I'd have said, I think I'll carry it up the stairs. What, young man? Why don't you clock out for the day? Come on, you would have too. Right? Thomas Edison didn't do that. He gave that light bulb number 2 to the same young boy to carry it up the stairs. And this time he didn't drop it. That may seem like a simple, perhaps mildly interesting historical account. But I think it speaks volumes to us today. Because when we fail, and when we're mired in our failure, what we need the most is someone, a human being, to come alongside us and say, hey, I know you failed. They don't deny our, we're not talking about denying reality, okay? We're not talking about pretending something never happened. They say, no, yeah, you failed. But you know what? I still believe in you. I still see something in you. Your failure has not disqualified you from being useful and being productive. I see something in you, and despite your failure, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you, and I know that you're going to come through. God has a Barnabas for you today. God has faith in you and will send someone along who has faith in you also. All of us need someone to believe in us. And if you're here today and you're mired in your failure and you're wringing your hands and you're thinking it's never going to be any different, I have news for you. God has a Barnabas for you. God has somebody who's going to come along into your life and is going to say to you, in spite of your failure, I believe in you. Come on, let's go move forward together. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that your Heavenly Father loves you that much? Someone to have faith in you. What's the third thing we need to understand to let go of our failures? It's this. God will use your faithfulness to turn failure into success. God will use your faithfulness to turn failure into success. We're not told how, but somehow Mark began to earn the trust of those who didn't trust him before. The Apostle Peter recognized Mark's value. In 2 Peter 5:13, he refers to Mark as his son. And Mark ended up writing the second gospel with information he received from Peter himself, who was an eyewitness of Jesus' life. Peter was close to Mark. He knew of Mark's failures. But he later wrote in his epistle that Mark was his son. And then Paul. Remember Paul? Remember how he and Barnabas parted company because all Paul could think about was the way Mark had failed them on their earlier journey. Well, in Colossians 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes that Mark is to be well received by the Christian brethren of Colossae. He says this, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." That's Colossians 4:10. And in today's text that we read, Paul, listen to this, from a cold, dark dungeon during his second Roman imprisonment. Paul was facing the end of his life. He was coming near to where he would be soon be executed. But he writes this. He writes from this dark, cold prison. He says, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." And the word translated from the original Greek helpful or useful in the New American Standard Bible is from the Greek words for well and serviceable, meaning Mark had by this time become very useful to Paul. What a turnaround. What a turnaround. We don't know how it happened. We don't know what John Mark did to earn the trust of those who were affected by his failure. But it's pretty clear that he had proven himself faithful. He said, "I'm not going to let my failures define me. I am going to get up off of the ground and I am going to move forward. I'm going to let go of my failures. I'm going to be faithful. I am going to plow ahead. I'm going to do what I know to do." And he did that. And those who had previously regarded his failures, particularly the great apostle Paul, said, "Now Mark is very useful to me for the ministry. Make sure you send him to be with me in my hour of imprisonment." That's powerful, church. That's powerful. You see, you may fail, but if you dust yourself off and you prove yourself faithful, there's going to be a turnaround in your life. Diana Nyad is a great example of overcoming failure. At the age of 28, she attempted to swim from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. I'll tell you right now, she's a lot braver than I am. And a lot braver than most of you, too. I'll just say it, okay? No one had ever done that before. She failed. Then she failed again. And again. She tried to swim that distance without a shark cage 4 times and failed. Finally, on her 5th try at the age of 64, 36 years after She tried. Can I just tell you what you already know? There's a whole lot of difference in your body from 28 to 64. Can we all agree on that? I don't care how great a shape you're in, okay? I turned 60 this year, and believe me, I'm feeling it. All right? So 64, 36 years later, she tried what she had failed to do as a young woman, and she succeeded. For 53 hours, she battled through jellyfish stings, sunburn, and dehydration. She is the first and only person to make that swim outside of a shark cage. How did she become successful at that which she had tried to do and failed four times previously? It's because she was faithful. She kept at it. She didn't quit. She didn't say it can't be done. She didn't say I'm a failure. She said I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep working toward it. I'm going to do it. And she did it. I'm like you. I fail. And I can become discouraged at my times of failure. But like Diane and like the Apostle Paul, I want to press on. I want to be faithful. The scripture says in Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Actually, I didn't read the verse previous to that. It says, forgetting what is behind, I press on to win the prize for which God has called me. God can use your faithfulness to turn your failure into success. Now, there are two kinds of failures. There's sin and there are mistakes. If your failure involves sin against the Holy God, the steps are simple. Acknowledge your sin, repent, receive forgiveness, and change your ways. But there are some failures that don't necessarily involve sin. They're just mistakes. We do dumb things. We kind of get our thinking a little mixed up sometimes, don't we? And we do the wrong thing. If your failure is a mistake or a series of mistakes, learn from them and move on. Learn from them, acknowledge them, make changes, move on. Stay faithful. It is those who are consistent, who stay faithful, plugging away in spite of their failures, who become significantly useful to God and allow God to turn their failures into success. As we've shared this morning, as human beings, we're all prone to failure. None of us here today can say we've never failed. It's part of our flesh, our humanity. But the good news is that there is someone, you may not have found them yet, they may not have come across your path, but God has someone who will have faith in you despite your failures. Isn't that a precious thought? I can think of people in my life who've had faith in me despite my failures. Could some of you think of a Barnabas in your life? You failed, but they had faith in you because God sent them into your life. And thirdly, we looked at the fact that God will use your faithfulness to turn failure into success. I want to close with one final verse of Scripture. In Isaiah 42:3 is this quote, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Now this is a messianic prophetic verse. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew 12:30, referring to himself. You say, what's that all about, a bruised reed and a smoldering wick? Well, by the river, by the stream, there would be these little reeds that would grow up. And children would come in antiquity and probably still do today in that part of the world. They'd grab a reed, they'd play with it, maybe blow on it, try and make a little type of sound, music out of it. Maybe the boys would play swords with them, you know. But they were just little thin reeds and they would break. And so what would the child do when the reed broke? Toss it aside. It's just a reed, right? Get another one. Plenty of them. Just toss it aside. The smoldering wick refers to a wick floating in a container of oil. That's how people would light their homes. And they would, of course, light it. But when, if they weren't careful, if the wick had burned all the way down, it would smolder and leave a bad odor in the home. And it was good for nothing. Like the reed, it was just thrown out. And so this verse from Isaiah and quoted by Jesus referring to himself refers to the concept of just using things and throwing them away. You know, sometimes when, like the reed or the smoldering wick, we fail to achieve our purpose. We fail in what we're supposed to do. Sometimes those around us, sometimes society, will view us like that reed or that smoldering wick as disposable. Just throwing away. I don't care where you go, but you gotta get up out of here. Disposable. Society, because of our failures, can make us feel disposable. The Word of God says about Jesus, a bruised reed he won't break and discard. A smoldering wick that is seemingly good for nothing, he won't snuff out and throw it away. You see, Jesus is in the business of redeeming our failures. He's in the business of making we who feel disposable because of our failures, making us know that we are useful to him. We are valuable to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what that says to me? That says that my failures don't have to define me. That says that my mistakes don't have to determine the path of my life. Because even though society makes me feel disposable, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, redeems my sin, redeems my mistakes, and he says, you aren't disposable. You're valuable to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Hallelujah. We bring this service to a close today. I said earlier that we've all failed. The Word of God says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's our flesh. That's our human nature. But the Bible also declares that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became flesh, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. We can't earn our salvation. We can't buy it. We can't be good enough to deserve it. Jesus Christ on the cross purchased our forgiveness. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you have never received Jesus Christ into your heart to forgive you of your sin, to wash away your sin, to become the Lord of your life, you can do that today. You can do that today. We just want to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not asking anything of you. We simply want you to receive eternal life. That's the ultimate redemption, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, all of us, everyone on the planet. And he extends his forgiveness to us if we will receive him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many, just so I can see, the Lord is touching your heart today. You've not received Christ into your heart and asked him to forgive you of your sin and become the Lord of your life, and you realize there's something tugging at your heart. You're not here by accident today, and you want to receive Christ into your heart. You want him to be the Lord of your life and forgive you of your sin and make you his child. If that's you, slip your hand up so I can see it today. Yes. Yes. Take just a moment. Slip your hand up so I can see it. You want to receive Christ? We just want to pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? Let us pray. Pray this prayer after me, whether you raised your hand or not. Dear Jesus, I confess my sin.
I confess my sin.
And that I need a Savior.
And that I need a Savior.
I believe you are the Son of God.
I believe you are the Son of God.
That you lived a sinless life.
That you died on the cross for my
sin. That you rose from the dead. And you live forever. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Make me your child. And with your help, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you made a recommitment by praying that prayer, the scripture says you have become a son or a daughter of Almighty God. Isn't that awesome today? Praise God. Your failures don't have to define you. And you can let them go because your God is leading you into a path of success. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, whether you raised your hand or not, Rich Clemens, raise your hand. This gentleman here will be up front for just a few moments. He'll have some literature to give you. Just ask, as we dismiss, you make your way to him and he will have something to give you just to help you on this new Christian journey, this new life. That you've entered in on today. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad he doesn't hold our failures against us? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you that our failures are a thing of the past. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today who is holding on to their failures, God, that they would let them go. That they would realize that you have a destiny for them, that you have a future for them, and that their failure does not define them, but God, that you will lead them into a path of success, that you have a Barnabas for them, that Lord, you believe in them, and if they're faithful, you will turn their failures into successes. Hallelujah. Lord, let us leave here encouraged and heartened today, knowing that you have determined the path for our life. And our failures are a thing of the past. And Lord, we let them go. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, everybody pray this with me real quick. Dear Lord, I take all my failures and I let them go. They do not define me. They will not hinder me. I will not look at them anymore. Help me, Lord, to forget my failures, to be faithful, and to move forward into the future you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let it go. Hallelujah. God bless you.